The 22nd gene key. The transformational path of the 22nd gene key moves from dishonor to grace, and it's the path of graciousness. Whenever I approach this 22nd gene key now, I always feel kind of a little in awe, and perhaps also a bit daunted. Like the 55th gene key, it completely surprised me when I wrote it. All this amazing and, well, frankly, really mysterious out there knowledge just came pouring out of it. And I never intended the gene keys to be very esoteric, but this 22nd gene key definitely took them in that direction. That's what I love about the art of contemplation. You never know what insights will come or when. You just have to begin. So having said all that, I have a feeling that this transformational path is going to be all practicality, because that's what the divine feminine is all about, and that's what this 22nd gene key is. It's the real divine feminine. I say the real because I think the divine feminine has been rather misrepresented by the New Age movement. I don't see it the way some do. For me, it's not about ladies in flowing robes wafting around campfires. It's not about some kind of pro-women social revolution either. I don't have a problem with either of those things, but they're not what I understand to be the divine feminine. So let's unpack this gene key and maybe see what it really is about, at least from the point of view of this knowledge. So let's begin as ever with the shadow, dishonor. What does it mean to dishonor someone? What does it mean to dishonor yourself? And those two questions are ever connected. And when you look at the dilemma of this gene key, you get the answer. It's all about accountability. You know, life is about learning to be accountable for one's own state. Now that sounds easy, but it really is a huge challenge for humans. It's a challenge because at the shadow frequency, we always revert into a victim stance. So if we don't feel comfortable, then we immediately look for a reason. Maybe we blame the weather. You've got to remember I'm English, so we always blame the weather over here. But more often, usually, we blame another person. We don't take responsibility for our own state. We look for a reason. But the point is, really, that when we aren't comfortable being uncomfortable, so we deflect our awareness in some way out of the present moment. You know, I often think about this. Why is it so damn hard to remain in the present moment? Why do all these teachers and mystics keep banging on about being in the now? Why can't they just leave us alone? Hey, well, they're right. Although I sometimes do wonder how helpful it is to talk about being in the now or not being in the now. Because the problem can be that you then try and be in the now, which can end up interfering with your naturally occurring shadow patterns. Now, I know that might sound weird, but in a way, it's better to be fucked up and aware than perfect and pretending to be aware. Dishonor runs deep. We dishonor ourselves every time we don't accept the way we feel or behave. And when I say accept, I don't mean morally accept. There are things we do sometimes that really are not morally acceptable, but at a deeper level, we can still accept them, and it doesn't make them okay. But at least it's honest. And in the beginning, we just have to see who we are. So all transformation begins with this, with accountability. We have to accept our shadows. So when we think about dishonor, we usually think about it in terms of how we might behave towards others or how others behave towards us. But really, dishonor is always about us first. You dishonor yourself whenever you blame anything for anything, because there's no fault. We are not perfect. We make mistakes. We just have to be honest about it. The 22nd gene key is all about human suffering. It explores the very roots of human suffering. In the Venus sequence, which is a kind of practical extension of this 22nd gene key, there are six essential human wound patterns represented. They are repression, denial, shame, rejection, guilt, and separation. And none of them are wrong. No, none of them are wrong. We manifest them a great deal in our lives. And some of us lean more strongly towards certain ones than others. That's the cosmic deal we're given. But they aren't wrong. They're the material, the raw material for our transformation. And let's take guilt, for example. Is it wrong to be guilty? Because we're often told it is. But what if we've done something terrible? Then perhaps that guilt is a natural part of our process. Perhaps it's right. It must be. And the same with shame. We're told, and especially in the New Age, we need never be ashamed. Well, perhaps we ought to be ashamed sometimes. Perhaps if we have harmed another person, then we ought to feel that shame. Perhaps we dishonor nature if we don't allow ourselves to feel that shame. Again, the point is that all feelings are journeys, and our suffering is a journey. And we have to begin with the knowing that we must honor it. We must even honor dishonor at some level. The word accountability is a funny one. It's a funny one because it always makes me think of little men in suits and glasses working out numbers, accountants. But it's like that in a way. We have to see the numbers for what they are, just numbers. Our suffering's like that. Our issues are like that. They're just what they are. Imagine if every tax year you had to do a tax return for all your transgressions. That's really taxing. You know, you just have to be honest with your own nature. This honoring of the pattern itself is what begins the process of transformation. We have to remember also the programming partner of the 22nd GNQ is the 47. And that's the shadow of oppression. And it's all about the junk DNA and karma and the stuff we bring with us when we're born, our issues, our sacred wound, our path to awakening. It either oppresses you or it frees you. It's one or the other. So are you going to do your accounts, or are you going to try and duck the tax man? Will you honor the process or dishonor the wound you carry by avoiding it? It cries out over and over for our attention, for our awareness, and we just have to learn to let it in. It's just honesty, self-honesty. That's all that's needed. So it's important not to hide from the true numbers inside. Don't try and run or shirk your own program. We have to face it. We have to deal with it. We have to be accountable for our behavior, for our feelings, for our thoughts, for our self-judgments. And then we have a chance of letting go of those self-judgments. We have to have the chance. It's a process of awareness, that's all. It's simple. Contemplation really, really helps you see these things because it gives you the space, it gives you the pause necessary to see the issue at hand. And if we don't stop and look, how will we ever see the pattern? So think about this. You're in a relationship and your partner's really feeling down and they're kind of projecting some of their state onto you, the way we often do. And you get defensive and reactive because it's an injustice. It's nothing to do with you and you know it. But still, you aren't being accountable. If you knew it wasn't your stuff, then you wouldn't be defensive or reactive. You'd be compassionate. Or at the very least, you might feel a bit sad for them. But you wouldn't get tangled up in their state. You see, it's not so easy to account for yourself because our own issues get tangled up with the issues of others. This is the dilemma. This is what the Venus sequence work is all about. It teaches you the practical art of emotional accountancy. Isn't that hilarious? These are my expenses, these are yours. Then you get to work out if you're making any profit. And profit is what happens when the 22nd gift comes into play. The 22nd gift, graciousness. The 22nd gift it's just fantastic. It will save your life. It will save anyone in any situation, anywhere. It's the path to grace, after all. It's so beautiful, it's so practical, and it's so simple. Graciousness. It's something of a lost quality. It's like here in England. I love watching what happens whenever I get to play the gentleman to a stranger. Like opening the door for a lady, or offering an elderly person your seat on the train. You know, people often say things like, "Oh, I thought the age of chivalry was over, young man. Well, how nice to meet a gentleman." You know, it's fun. It also happens to be the way I was brought up, but it's more than that. It's an element of graciousness, which is all about how we treat ourselves and how we treat others. You know, graciousness isn't just politeness or courtesy, although it may contain both of those qualities. It's a whole cocktail of noble qualities. It's also very refined and often very subtle, because it's an attitude carried in our aura, and it's rooted in a deep reverence for all life. You know, truthfully, graciousness doesn't really have anything to do with your upbringing, although it can certainly be taught. It can be caught, in a way, not taught. It can be caught from a parent or a peer when you're young. Gracious people are really quite rare in the world. So have a think about it and see if you can bring someone to mind who is truly gracious. That's someone worthy of contemplation. But it all stems from your ability to be accountable. Because when you're accountable for your own aura, for your own chemistry, for your own emotions, then you move in such a clean way through the world. Because all your accounts are settled as you go along. You don't allow debts to build up. Your money's laundered. Sorry, enough. I'll stop with the money metaphors. But it takes time to get clean in that way. And you have to know the patterns of your own wounding. You have to disentangle your reactions from those of others. And this is what contemplation does. It gives you the space to see what's really going on around you at the emotional level. Because let's be clear, this is all about the emotions. You know, the 22nd gene key is the great emotional valve. And the great word for this gift is the word soul. It's the gift of graciousness and it's the gift of soul. Soul is when you begin to emanate the quality of your essence. It's a refining of your emotions. At the shadow frequency, emotions are really nothing but turbulence. They buffet us around. They disturb us deeply so much of the time. And we're caught in this battle between pleasure and pain. But when our soul really shines out, we even begin to let go of the need for pleasure. And then we become grateful for whatever life brings. And that's another quality inherent in graciousness, gratitude. When you feel grateful to life, it's because you're so aware of death, and so your priorities are transformed. And so as we let go of pleasure, so we let go of pain. You know, those two are inextricably linked. And it's not as though they go away, they don't. The delightful musical fugue continues in our lives, but we don't shuttle desperately from one to the other. We become more accepting of life and its rhythms. You know, this is what graciousness brings us. We're no longer a victim of the pleasure-pain cycle. And so we begin to rise up and our frequency lifts us. We feel equanimous, another lovely word. You see how many lovely words there are hiding in this gift? To live with equanimity is to live life lightly, but at the same time, deeply. It means you pay attention, but you have an unquenchable inner calm. This gene key is very special as it becomes more and more purified. It is, after all, the master key and the highest teaching in all the gene keys. It's a transmission known as the Seven Seals, which you can read about in the 22nd gene key. And the 22nd gene key is the seventh seal itself. It contains the codes for the healing of all humanity's wounds. Graciousness is the process of bringing grace into form. So graciousness invites grace. And graciousness doesn't exist without challenges. It thrives on challenges. Life will go on testing your graciousness. It needs to be tested so that you can refine it. How graciously do you treat yourself? How graciously do you treat others? It doesn't mean you have to like everyone, but it does mean that you allow them to be who they are. And graciousness carries a kind of cosmic kindness inside it. When we're gracious, we often hold back from saying something that we might have said otherwise, because it might stir someone up. Again, it's not that you become holy when you manifest graciousness. You're still as human as anyone else, but you know how to treat people You treat them with kindness. You don't allow your own issues to get tangled up with theirs. And so when you stop judging yourself, then you're no longer going to judge others. So as we enter deeply into contemplation of our own issues and our own agendas and our own wounds, so we learn how to be gracious, and we learn to be careful without being fearful, and we learn to be warm without being overbearing, and we learn to be candid without being cruel. It's a balancing act, is the gift frequency. It's a transformational field in which we're steadily refined. And it's all because we learn to stop dishonoring ourselves at the very deepest level. The 22nd city, grace. Thus flows the font of the divine feminine. You see, it's really about owning your own stuff. It's about treating yourself and others with dignity, no matter how they behave. And I hope that this is practical for all of you who are listening to this. I'm describing a process that we enter into when we contemplate our lives at this deep level. Whether we use the gene keys or not, it doesn't matter. You can forget all of this stuff and just remember the gift of graciousness. It's the greatest teaching I know. And you may well be wondering, what's all of this got to do with the divine feminine? And the answer is, I hope it's self-evident, it's all about how we treat each other. There are relationship teachers out there who advocate that we express all our emotions all the time because we came out of an emotionally repressive generation. A generation who experienced a terrible world war. You know, we've reacted to that and we've gone too far in the other direction. And that's normal. It's the way of things. It's always like that. But the next generation will need to find the balance between clear and appropriate emotional expression and basic human decency. You don't want to be putting your emotions onto someone else all the time. It's messy. It turns into a real soup. So graciousness leads to grace. And one more thing before we dive into grace. I don't want you to get the notion that graciousness is this kind of, you know, breakfast at Tiffany's kind of thing where we're all squeaky clean and our behavior and elocution is all airbrushed. True graciousness can be really gritty. It can be rough around the edges. It's like this lovely old elm floor I've just put into my house. You know, we've been renovating the house. And I found this beautiful old English elm, and it was all weathered and rough with the elements. And most people would just plane it right down and have it all perfect and with all the grain looking. And it does look very beautiful like that. But what we did is we just gave it a light sanding and then we put it down. So you can see all the weather marks and all the saw marks. And it's aging and it's history, but it's still really soft to the touch. And graciousness is like that floor. It's honest. It has a soft touch. It carries a story with depth and humour. But it isn't perfect. It's just human. So to grace. What the hell is grace? Well, that can be answered in as many ways as there are stars in the night sky. But here's my spontaneous answer. I'm thinking of the poems of William Wordsworth. Most of you all know me as a lover of poetry by now. And William Wordsworth is a famous English 18th century poet, nature poet, essentially. And his words, like his name, carry with them the beauty of man's interaction with nature at its highest level. And in many of his poems, he describes moments of kind of celestial transport when he's just swept away by some natural phenomenon. And maybe it was a storm in the hills, or rowing across a lake in the dead of night in the mountains and listening to the owls hooting, that kind of thing. And he calls these moments in our lives spots of time. They're moments that lift us up when we've fallen. They're moments of grace. And we all experience spots of time. We've all felt the soft touch of grace in our lives. It's worth spending some time in your contemplation calling back those moments and luxuriating in them. They're the markers of grace in our lives. Just this morning when I was running around the hills here in Devon, shortly after dawn, I encountered a little bird, a tiny bird, a goldcrest. And it was just sitting on the hedgerow before me as I ran along the road. And it stopped me dead in my tracks. I just saw it, a little glint of gold. It's a rare little bird, a tiny thing, but with this incredible gold sash on its head. And it gave me one of those magical pauses. You know, once it had flitted away, I was off again. But I carried it with me, that little moment of grace, that flash of gold. And now here it is, embedded forever in this story, in this gene key. Isn't that funny, grace? Sometimes grace just falls on you, and you can't predict when it will occur, and you can't do anything to make it happen. But you can prepare the ground through the way you deal with difficulties and with graciousness. We have this term, a fall from grace. And it's poignant because grace is often about how we deal with the shadows, how we deal with our mistakes. It all comes back to accountability. We have to deal with our falls as cleanly and openly as possible. Grace is buried in every shadow. It almost teases us to take the leap and behave in a new way instead of being sucked back into the old behaviours. And sometimes grace hits a whole gene pool. Like over here in the UK in the year 2012, when we hosted the Olympics, there was an incredible atmosphere over here. The fact that so many of our athletes did so well, winning so many gold medals, it really lifted the whole country onto another plane. And we've never really been the great sporting realm, not like Russia or America or China. You know, it gave us a taste of the higher frequencies as a collective. It was a grace that occurred. I mean, it may sound weird, but you could walk through London during that time and everyone would smile at you and talk openly on buses and trains and things. And that never happens in London, but it did during those months. It was an extraordinary high. And of course, it's just a symbol because grace comes as a tribute. It's a gift given to us to open us up to another possibility. And these moments, these spots of time, they're not to be missed. They're to be savoured and they're to be allowed to mature inside us because they're the stepping stones for a higher life. And the more grateful we are, the more often they appear. So grace can mean many things to many people, but it's also the same for all people because there are states of being that transcend suffering. And that is the ultimate meaning of grace. Those states may one day become more readily available to us. And if and when they do, it will be very likely because something inside us mutates to allow us to receive those higher frequencies on a permanent basis. That's certainly the essence of the gene keys. And we have to change. But how and when is not in our hands. You can't even say it's for certain. But given that grace exists in the first place, to me, it seems inevitable. So in your life, let your contemplation touch upon grace, on those spots of time that come every now and again. The more you pause and listen, the more grateful and gracious your spirit becomes, and the more of those experiences you'll have. Until one day, you just vanish. You just evanesce into those higher initiations spoken of in the 22nd city. So I really hope that this gene key strikes a chord with you somewhere deep within. And I hope perhaps you can grasp a little of what we mean, or at least what I understand by the divine feminine, the spirit of grace, practical, unpalpable, numinous, but always available to the one who loves deeply enough.